budget, redistricting, COVID-19 relief. They're big issues that the Wisconsin legislature will be dealing with the start of the session last week. How will those issues all play out with a Republican majority in both the Assembly and the Senate and a Democratic governor? And how will all of those and those of us here in Western Wisconsin be impacted by those decisions? We'll spend the hour gazing into the crystal ball in our legislative update today on the West Side. Good morning. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and like to welcome our guest today, Kathleen Bernier. She represents the 23rd Senate District. That includes all of Chippewa County, most of Clark County, the northeast half of Dunn County, central and eastern Eau Claire County, and portions of Trempealeau, Jackson, Wood, and Marathon counties. She's the vice chair of the Senate's Minority Caucus. Welcome back to the West Side, Senator Bernier.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Jeff Smith is the senator from the 31st District, which includes all of Buffalo and Pepin counties, most of Pierce, Trempealeau, and Jackson counties, southern Dunn County and western Eau Claire County, as well as a small portion of St. Croix County. He's chair of the Minority Caucus of the Senate. Senator Smith, good to have you along today.
I appreciate your inviting me. Thank you.
I'm particularly interested in hearing what's on your mind today. What do you want the legislature to tackle in this session? Is the divided government we have a help or a hindrance in managing the affairs of the state? To join us, call 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Last time I had the two of you on together was in May, and it was the beginning of a spring, summer, and fall that saw some heated conflict, not only in the election, but also in the handling of the pandemic, with the Republican legislative leaders pushing against almost every measure Governor Evers' administration tried to implement to control the pandemic. And we'll certainly spend some time today talking about those points of conflict. But how about, with the start of this new year, we share a glimmer of hope for cooperation, at least in the area of a COVID-19 bill? I want to play for you an excerpt from the weekly Democratic radio address delivered yesterday by Governor Evers. Here's that. Well, obviously that's not that. Let's see if I can get that right. Here we go.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to affect our small businesses, workers, students, and parents, and the health and safety of our friends and neighbors, I called on the legislature to pass legislation to address our most pressing COVID-19 response needs. This week, the Senate passed a bill that, while it's not the compromise we originally proposed, AB1, as amended by the Senate, is a good start to support our state's response to this pandemic and is a step in the right direction. I've been grateful to work together with Republican Senate Majority Leader Lemahieu to find common ground and pass a bill that reflects a good faith effort to compromise and be bipartisan. Wisconsinites believe, as I do, that we can and should put politics aside and work together. I'm calling on the Assembly to pass this bill as amended and send it to my desk without delay. Let's get this done, and let's start this new legislative session in 2021 on the right foot.
That's Governor Tony Evers. Senator Bernier, we haven't heard a lot of words like common ground or putting politics aside lately in the relationship between the governor and the legislature. As vice chair of the Republican caucus in the Senate, do you think the collaboration on this bill is a signal of some thawing of the frosty relationship between the governor and legislative leaders?
Yeah, I think so. I know that some of us wanted to start out our legislative session on a positive note. There will be plenty of us issues that we're not going to agree on. So there were certain things that we wanted our leadership in the Senate to pursue, and that precipitated a conversation with the governor's office. And so I expect the same thing on the going back and addressing the mental health beds and getting that bill through again, mm-hmm. along with various other issues. But make no mistake, there are a number of things we don't agree on, a number of things our constituents don't agree on. which is indicative of what's gone on as of late. So we need to start working to remember that we're all Wisconsinites, we're all Americans, and we need to stop the hyper-partisan rhetoric. And I think we're off to a good start at the state.
Senator Smith, I mentioned that you chair the Democratic caucus in the Senate. Were members of your caucus involved in the crafting of the amendments that came out of the Senate version of the COVID-19 bill?
No, I can't say that that's the case, but it being in the minority side of the legislature, that's not normally the case. It is usually crafted between the governor's office and then the majority leaders. And I have to say we were pleasantly surprised because we've just gone through a pretty tough 2 years under different leadership, and we're really, really hopeful. I know I am, and I know my members, I think I can speak for them when I say they are as well hopeful, as Senator Bernier has stated. I mean, there certainly are always going to be issues, not, and maybe not so much the issues, but how we reach our solutions will have conflict. But in this case, I think we did start off on the right foot, you know, and the other, but we have opportunities moving forward. And I see other hopeful signs. You know, Governor Evers just declared this year as the year and access, and I think that's something we could all say we really has to be addressed. So we're looking good so far. Let's keep it up.
Senator Smith, we're getting some significant breakup in your signal. I think why don't you go ahead and call us, and let's get you back up on the phone if we can. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So we'll bring Senator Smith back in just a bit. Senator Bernier, the bill that passed the Senate this week is actually an amended version of the bill that passed the Assembly in the first few days of the session last week, but it is in essence a very different bill. Why did the Senate see fit to change the Assembly's bill that much, and what were the things that what was essentially changed?
Well, there's a good number of provisions in the Assembly version that the Senate, one of the biggest priorities we have is those liability protections for churches and schools and nonprofits and businesses in general need those liability protections. There are also some additional separate items that the Assembly had in their bill that will be coming forward. I know I'm releasing a bill today to allow dentists to provide the vaccinations for COVID-19. They certainly have the medical wherewithal to accomplish that. They are eager to help. One of our concerns right now with COVID-19 vaccines is we have more vaccine than we are actually getting into the arms. And we need to make sure that we get all hands on deck to administer those vaccinations. I spoke with a Prevea doctor recently about who they're vaccinating and why. I spoke to a elderly living facility director today. He's frustrated that it's such a slow rollout in the nursing homes and assisted living facilities. Those able to get to a walk-in clinic, he took a bunch of residents and staff to a walk-in clinic to get the vaccination yesterday in Clark County. I'm not sure Chippewa or Eau Claire has that yet. So we need to fine-tune that release. But once again, we have to recognize what the legislature makes laws. The legislature provides budget funding. It is the executive branch that is responsible to carry it out. And so we don't go in and pass a law telling Governor Evers and DHS how to do their job. We just provide the law that directs them to do the job. And so, and there's numerous committees and such set up to do all that. So we weigh in, but, you know, we're not going to pass a bill that says, you know, do this, then do this, because that's not our responsibility as a legislature.
Senator Smith is back with us. Good to have you back, Senator Smith.
There
are a lot of issues the legislature has to deal with, and divided government means no one party is going to be able to pile drive issues through. Are you hopeful for more collaboration among legislators, and between the executive and legislative branches in dealing with those issues?
Well, as I said, I really am. I think we have a lot of opportunity to do that. I have to revisit the one thing. Senator Bernier is right. It is not our job to control or to direct the governor how to do his job or DHS. But I hope that from here on that our majority party will live by those words. But that hasn't been the case previously, as we know from the lame duck session of 2018 following the election, and the court cases. We may not be legislating how they operate, but unfortunately up to now the leaders have turned around and used the court system to try to do that. So let's hopefully what happened with our the test that we just passed, I believe, of a bipartisan agreement in the Senate on this bill moves us in the right direction. And the state assembly now needs to follow that lead. It's so important. We can't delay. And I have to agree also with Senator Bernier. I'm not hopeful that the state assembly under the current leadership is willing or cares to pass what we just passed to make things move along. I wish they would, even though they have some ideas that they want to push out there. They can do it another way. But right now, let's get this bill done and move on to the next steps that we have to take, because there's much more that we need to address as well for our citizens of Wisconsin.
That's the voice of State Senator Jeff Smith. We're also joined by State Senator Kathy Bernier, giving you a legislative update today. How's your confidence level with state government right now? And with the tumult of the 2020 election, will that carry over into governing? What's your question or comment for our state senators? We have Charles and Steve waiting. We'll come to them after the break. But you can, once one of them drops off, you can call 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. I'm Dean Kallenbach. You're listening to The West Side on the Ideas Network. We're back with our two state senators, Kathy Bernier, the Republican from Chippewa Falls, Jeff Smith, the Democrat from Eau Claire. And it's our legislative update. We do that every once in a while here. And with the start of the new legislative session, we thought it was an appropriate time to bring it back. So let's move to our phones, 800-228-5615, the number to call if you'd like to join us. Let's start with Charles in Fall Creek. Charles, thanks for joining the West Side.
Hi, thank you for having my call. So thank you both to the senators for being on the show. I've been a constituent of one of you at one point or another. I had a question about the participation of the Senate. I guess the attendance in the last year has been kind of abysmal. There was a 200-day stretch where the Senate and the legislative branch did not meet at all. And that seems totally unacceptable. And I'd like to hear what both of you have to say about that. Thank you.
Senator Smith, let's start with you on it was actually about 270 days, I believe, between legislative sessions, with the exception of a minute-long session or two that was called.
It was 270 days, and it was unacceptable under these circumstances particularly. I will say that the calendar does typically end in the spring of an election year, which I have also argued against in the first place. I think we should be available to work
for our constituents all the way to near the election. Yeah. I truly believe that. So that's always a disappointment for me. But in this case, when we were facing a pandemic and we had not even finished our calendar with many other important things that had been passed in the Assembly, and we didn't pass them in the Senate, we needed to at least address that. But more than ever, we needed to address these issues that now we have finally started to address last week with the bill that we passed in the Senate. But I agree with Charles. It should not have happened. We had, let's face it, we had one leader running, and we had our majority leader in the Senate who was running for Congress, and he pretty much was out the door. So that wasn't, he just wasn't interested. So we have to do better.
Senator Bernier, what are your thoughts on the long recess for the legislature?
You know, I could pretty much say ditto to that. You know, I've made the argument that we're elected, whether it's an election year or not, we're elected, you know, even in the lame duck session when, you know, there was concerns over that. I said, we're elected for 2 or 4 years. Right up to the end of our session, we are elected officials that are ready, willing, and should be able to meet and take action whenever necessary. So I have argued till I'm blue in the face to get back to do that final session day, because there was a great number of things that many of us worked on, not just for one session, but 2 or 3 sessions. 3 cleanup bills in the election processes and procedures, which would have been helpful in this last election, as well as the mental health beds and a number of other things, physician assistant bill that I worked hard on to get everyone together to support. So yes, I am just as frustrated as well that we didn't get in to meet. With that said, I think our one session day that we had to deal with COVID directly and the finances around that, we met electronically over Zoom or Skype, whichever it was. The lag time with some legislators and the leadership, and I know that there was some ruffled feathers that our president didn't get or hear or understand someone who wanted to speak, and there was anger and frustration with the process and the rules. Once you go past that, you can't go back, and so it wasn't easy to run a session over electronic form. So that is why most of us are in the Capitol at this point.
All right. We have another call. Speaking of elections, I think that's what Steve from Trigo wants to talk about. Steve, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I read reporting from earlier this week that ground floor windows at the Capitol building in Madison are being boarded up out of concern for potentially violent protests this weekend into early next week. And I just really feel like we're at a moment of national crisis. And what could really help calm this situation is if Republican legislative leaders issued a joint statement not only calling for calm and peaceful protest, but as Mitt Romney said on the floor of the Senate the night they certified the Biden and Kamala Harris victory, is that the best way to respect voters is tell them the truth. So I really call on Republican legislative leaders to issue a joint statement repudiating President Trump's lie that the election was fraudulent, and just tell people that it was a fair and free election, and we need to move on and do what's necessary to help the people, you know, of the country and of Wisconsin.
Senator Bernier, I'll give you a first crack at what Steve had to say.
Well, you know, as far as the windows being boarded up, that was news to us. We weren't privy to what organization, who to speak to. I will say now that if you are going to come out and protest, as a matter of fact, Dean, the last time we were on, we talked about the protests, riots in Minneapolis, as a matter of fact. And my colleague said, well, we have to look at the underlying message of those riots. I don't care what the example is or reason why people go from protesting to riots. It's wrong, no matter what the reason. It is just flat out wrong, whether it is for conservative purposes or race or ethnicity or whatever the case is. Protest to your heart's content, make your voices heard, but do not break the law and do not harm others. So I am glad the governor has taken proactive measures. I think he should have been proactive more so this last, in addition to this last summer, so that the windows weren't broken and the statues weren't torn down and all of that. It's important to be proactive, but I do encourage everyone to protest, let your voices heard, but do not break the law.
Senator Smith, are you worried about the security of the state capitol?
Yeah, I'm worried about the security of the people who work for government. I'm worried about the security for our police and law enforcement. Nobody should think that it's okay to attack our police. One of the things I heard this morning, in fact, was so appalling, is that there's over 60 people, 60 police, Capitol police officers in the federal Capitol that were injured, besides the two that have died from that attack. And during that attack, some were actually being hit with the flagpoles that had the thin blue line flag on them. You talk about your irony and hypocrisy from a rabid group of radical insurgents. That something is really wrong, and seriously wrong. And I'd have to agree with Steve I can speak all day long pleading for sanity and reason, but it really needs to come from the Republican Party, who have, unfortunately, throughout this mess, these several months before and after the election, have sat either silently or some have even stoked the fire that the election was going to be rigged, and then afterwards that it was rigged, and all of these things. Well, the democracy is democracy. The definition of democracy is that who gets the most votes, the majority wins. I happen to live in a district and grew up in a district and represented this district where Joe Luby in the 60s won by one vote. There wasn't, there was a recount. And I think it changed it to like two votes or something, but it didn't change the result. And he served for quite a while. And, there was not anger. There was just, okay, that was a fair election. Let's move on to the next one. We just need that sort of cooperation from both sides, and understand that that's how democracy works.
Well, let's take some time to talk about elections. Both of you have been appointed to the Senate Committee on Elections, Election Process Reform, and Ethics. Senator Bernier, you chair that committee. Wisconsin was a focal point of the presidential election, of course, first as a swing state that helped Joe Biden win, then as the target for multiple court challenges. The results of Wisconsin's election were even challenged last week in that dramatic affirmation of the Electoral College votes that was interrupted by the attack on the Capitol by supporters of President Trump. 15 of your fellow Republican state legislators even signed a letter to Vice President Pence asking him to overturn the election during that process. Senator Bernier, were there objections Were these objections simply a loyalty response by Republicans to the president who hasn't accepted the results? Or do you see something that the legislature needs to change in Wisconsin's election processes?
Well, there were legitimate concerns, which I spoke to the county clerk in Dane County. I said the Wisconsin Election Commission is the responsible party for determining what the intent of the law is. So it's consistent statewide. You as a county clerk and the Milwaukee County Clerk do not have the legal authority or the responsibility to determine what indefinitely confined is. That is not your job. So there were concerns about many issues, including whether it actually is legal to do your request for absentee on the affidavit envelope that gets filed with all the election supplies and is not on file in the clerk's office or the commission office, that sort of thing. So those are the sorts of things that we are going to take a look at to clarify once again. Megan Wolf is going to get me the list of things that were 3-3 votes at the commission so we can take a look at that. So there are some things we can address legitimately. But I, in addition, soon they'll be running the statewide voter registration report to determine whether there were cases of fraud, and if so, what. But I also am a realist. I've ran elections. I understand the process and procedures. And even though there were massive numbers of indefinitely confined, two legislators filed indefinitely confined, which was determined to be for the aged, infirmed, and disabled. That is not to say for people who can still go to the grocery store and go wherever they want to go to claim they're indefinitely confined. So we need to narrow that down and specifically define what indefinitely confined is. That didn't mean to say that the people who voted indefinitely confined were not legitimate votes. And I would argue they were, and they probably would have voted anyway. So it was process issues that we have to address and clarify. But I didn't think ever that a court of law would throw out legitimate voters because of illegal processes that election officials allowed. We need to clarify drop boxes. We don't really have that in our statutes. Mm-hmm. So I've had very frank conversations with many right conservatives on this issue. And I said, from everything I can tell, even with the improper election policies and procedures, Donald Trump did not make up 20,000 votes.
Mm-hmm. Four of those Republican legislators who signed the letter to Vice President Pence are on the Assembly Election Committee. Senator Smith, your counterpart in the Assembly, Minority Leader Gordon Hintz, has called on them to be removed from the committee, saying, quote, anyone using their elected position to promote the lie that the presidential election was stolen or reckless enough to call for sedition should be kept as far away from Wisconsin's election laws as possible. I'm wondering, what's your response to that, and what do you plan to work on as a member of the Election Process Reform and Ethics Committee?
Well, that's on the Assembly side, and I'm not going to weigh in on how they should determine who sits on their committees, and that's certainly up to Representative Hintz to make a statement that, you know, we're all just very, very frustrated and tired of the lies that have cost people's lives now. It has cost people's lives, and it has put all of us on notice, by the way, all of us legislators in the state of Wisconsin and across this country, that the chatter on social media is they're coming after us next, this weekend. So stay tuned. Good luck. Hopefully our law enforcement is able to stay safe, and hopefully we are as well.
Yeah.
Now, all that said, I understand, I follow Senator Bernier's arguments about some of these things, but, you know, when we're in a pandemic, and people fear for the fact that if they don't stay safe at home, they are at risk of getting ill, and all sorts of bad things can happen through this COVID-19. So I would say that they legitimately could could have said they were indefinitely confined. Indefinitely does not mean forever. It just means as long as you're at risk. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's unfortunately a red herring excuse to make claims about this election and to keep that base fired up, and it's really frustrating.
Our guests are State Senator Kathy Bernier of Chippewa Falls and State Senator Jeff Smith of Eau Claire. It's our legislative update. It's your chance to ask two senators from Western Wisconsin the question that's important to you. You can do that by emailing us at ideas@wpr.org or calling 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network. This is the West Side with our legislative update. We have State Senator Jeff Smith of Eau Claire, State Senator Kathy Bernier of Chippewa Falls on with us. And folks, we've, as usual, you are engaging, and it's very interesting to hear what you have to say. I got about 10 more issues I want to get to, and we've got about 15 minutes to do it. So I'm going to get started with redistricting. Neither of you had to campaign in 2020. Your four-year terms end in 2022. But in the debates we held here on the West Side for the 11 legislative districts in Western Wisconsin that did have elections, the issue of fair maps kept coming up with candidates, but also with people who called and emailed the show. This legislature will be charged with building the Assembly, Senate, and Congressional districts that we'll have for 10 years. Senator Bernier, how do you see that process playing out?
Well, the current maps pass constitutional muster. They've been in court probably for the entire 10 years. So I expect that the legislature will probably do what they can with LFB and their legal counsels to flex the population growth wherever it needs to be. I know it's always a challenge because I've done it at the county level. When you move one census block, the other one changes, and it becomes more complicated than anyone even recognizes unless they've done it. But for the most part, I think they will stay pretty much the same and then sent forward. I fully expect the governor to veto it, and I fully expect it to go to the courts.
The last redistricting happened when a Republican legislator and Republican governor were in place, and the Democrats really didn't have a seat at the map-making table. It's still a legislature with a Republican majority, but this time the governor is a Democrat. Senator Smith, do you expect that to make a difference in the final result?
Well, it's a legislature with Republican leadership because of gerrymandered maps for 10 years. And thank goodness we have a governor who will have a place, a say in all of this. I would, the courts, it passed muster. I wouldn't go so far as to say it passed muster. It came, what unfortunately and sadly happened at the U.S. Supreme Court when the Wisconsin case was brought to them, they bailed out. They didn't decide anything except that they decided they shouldn't have any say on state redistricting maps, which is wrong, unfortunately, but it is what is right now what we're dealing with. We have a situation where Wisconsin has become the poster child, along with a couple other states, as the most gerrymandered state in the country in history, and it has cost us quite a bit. And when all the conversation we've had so far today, when we're only finally after 10 years, we passed a bill that we felt we had some bipartisan agreement and compromise on, and we haven't been able to otherwise meet for 274. Why does that happen? It happens because we have leadership in this state, in the state legislature, who aren't afraid of their voters. They have figured it out that they will get elected no matter what their actions are, and the only people they have to answer to are the leaders of their party and not the people in their district. So that
well, I think that's an exaggeration, Jeff.
We're not going to have a democracy that we can be proud of in this country anymore.
The Senate, Dean, the Senate gained two more Republican seats from seats that were held by Democrats.
Including one right here in Western Wisconsin, the 10th.
Correct. So to always claim because you're losing elections, it's because of gerrymandering is fodder. I believe that the sensibilities and differences among people change over time. And so to get fair maps, do you mean to tell me that we're going to get a Republican elected in the heart of the city of Milwaukee? Do you think we're going to get Republicans elected in Madison area, in Dane County? Do you think we're going to get Democrats elected in Waukesha County? Actually, some of the urban areas, I would point out, have gone Democrat and to what used to be pretty reliable Republican seats went Democrat this last time and they lost in the assembly. So I'm sorry, but the people seem to congregate and voters shift in their opinions. And to always blame redistricting on the process, my district when I was in the 68th was 47% or 45 to 47% Republican according to the statistical data. I won the last time by almost, or 58%. Jesse James ran, won by 61% this time. Totally different voting results over the last 10 years. And it's not because of redistricting, it's because people's voting habits are changing.
We've got 10 minutes left and I want to get to budget because normally, at the beginning of a legislative session, and this is no real exception, but normally the Wisconsin biennial budget is the big thing that the legislature is dealing with right now. And Wisconsin budgets are on a two-year cycle, and the new budget begins in July. The governor starts this process with his budget proposal, which he's set to introduce 1 month from tomorrow in his state budget address. Senator Smith, what do you expect the emphasis to be in Governor Evers' budget plan?
Well, again, Governor Evers, fortunately, and very makes me very happy, has put a lot of focus on broadband expansions. This past year has definitely shined a bright light on the need for fiber into every home and every building in the state so that we can actually operate and we don't have the downturn that we had when something terrible happens like this pandemic did. That's huge. He's talking about $200 million going into that. We're hoping that the, we've just had certainly a more challenging year than ever before. And I suppose we're going to probably have a similar scenario as happened 2 years ago. The governor's going to present us with a budget that I could probably live with, but it will be thrown out and ignored by the Joint Finance Committee, and they'll start from scratch. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Well, the normal process is once the governor brings his proposal, it's the legislature's turn to mold that into legislation that reflects the priorities of the legislature, and sometimes the molding is more like a reconstruction. The Joint Finance Committee does a bulk of that work. It's the most powerful committee in the legislature. Senator Bernier, you've been appointed to the Joint Finance Committee for the first time. So what do you expect to be the hallmarks of the legislation that comes out of that committee?
Well, once we get the final fiscal estimates from the Fiscal Bureau, we will need to know exactly what we're dealing with financially. I think our goal is to be able to carry out our functions of what is the responsibility of state government. 45% will likely be, as always, education, K-12 and higher education, and transportation infrastructure. I don't see the legislature coming up with new and different priorities. I do hope, as a representative of people in the rural areas of the state of Wisconsin who definitely need broadband to function in this day and age, that we continue to emphasize that as a priority, knowing full well it's still going to take some time to get that done, but we are working our best to do that. We need to also take a look at how COVID-19 has impacted us. I don't expect that there will be a lot of new spending, at least, you know, the governor may propose a lot of new spending, and you're right, Senator Smith, we probably will have to take that out. So I don't have any preconceived notions on what all of the recommendations are going to be from our from the legislative end. We are just going to do our best to minimize any impact to the taxpayers as far as and additional taxes. You will expect that we will not raise taxes.
Senator Bernier, last session you tried to get legislation passed to add some mental health beds in northern Wisconsin, and even though you had bipartisan support, the bill never became law. I understand you're working on a new bill on that subject. Tell us what that bill looks like, and do you think it has a chance to pass this time around?
Yes. So the governor vetoed it out of the budget and diverted the funding to Mendota. And Mendota had already had budget money in, but apparently they needed more, and that was a convenient place to take it. To our chagrin, we, in convincing the governor's office and all the staff and many organizations from Department of Human Services, law enforcement, we had law enforcement from Rock County testify in favor of that bill, because if we have more mental health beds, and when I say that, I don't mean to be cold about it. We need our citizens to have mental health care and their families and support groups there to assist them. And when we send them all the way to Mendota, yeah, that help and assistance isn't there. So that bill's coming out this week. I'm not going to wait to put it in the budget. It was in the last session, a bill that we were supposed to finish up in the Senate. And another reason why I was upset we didn't finish our final session day.
Yeah. Senator Smith, where are you on the initiative to get more mental health beds in northern and western Wisconsin?
Well, we know there's a great need, and I know that the focus has been and should be at this point under current laws that we have. We shouldn't have to have law enforcement drive people that far away to get to the beds that, and the care that they need under the circumstances, but that's what it is. And why is it law enforcement? Because that's where they end up, and it shouldn't be that way. We should be actually investing and take some of that money that we're investing in law enforcement and put it into our social work and put it into our mental health care. And we may avoid the situations that we have that our law enforcement ends up being our social work workers and the solvers of people's mental health issues. That shouldn't happen. They shouldn't be confronted with that, and they shouldn't have to make those decisions on where to hold people when they are having a mental health crisis. I certainly think that we need to shift our thinking about law enforcement being in charge of our mental health care and put it where it belongs.
We're down to about 2 minutes left. I want to get to a question from Judy in Eau Claire. She says, how do you suggest the state do a better process of getting necessary revenue to local county governments? As the counties do the work of the state, specifically with vulnerable populations, including citizens suffering from mental illness, people are suffering and dying. We all know more beds are needed, but there aren't professionals to tend to those beds because of a lack of revenue. Senator Smith, in 30 seconds, what's your response to Judy?
I think I just did. To be more specific, yes, we should be shifting monies from punishment to care, and the state level. State does actually manage our Department of Health Services, and we should be providing them the resources that they need.
Senator Bernier, you're a former county officer. What are your thoughts on what Judy had to say?
Well, interestingly, I just had a conversation about county functions and what funding they have that on their required, the services that are required by state versus those that are optional. In addition, I just met with the regional Department of Human Services DHS directors this morning, along with the Wisconsin County Clerk or Counties Association director for health services. And so they are working on, they are having those conversations as we speak on processes and procedures to divert mental health. We've always focused, counties have been focusing on diverting the crisis situation. So, and they do a pretty good job of it. The only time law enforcement is called when somebody is in crisis and they're a danger to themselves or others. And I don't know that there's anyone other than law enforcement who is equipped to address someone who's endangering themselves or others. I wouldn't send a social worker out that, with someone wielding a knife or a gun or threatening to kill themselves or someone else. So you have to have law enforcement involved in it, knowing full well that they have resources available to them to de-escalate as well. So it's more complicated than just saying taking law enforcement out of the equation. I don't believe that's possible, but we can do, there's all sorts of tools that are being currently used other than taking someone to a hospital. And, Senator, and I don't think we have enough emphasis on that.
Senators Kathy Bernier and Jeff Smith, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Catherine,
thank you.
Catherine Thomas managed the phones today. Kate Spranger handles publicity and archives. Next Friday on the West Side, we share excerpts of the Martin Luther King Remembrance from coming on Monday through the Pablo Center's website. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is the West Side on the Ideas Network.